Every day, in communities just like yours, men and women devote their lives to building our economies, brick by brick and job by job. These are their stories. You're listening to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers.
Hello, all. Welcome to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers. I am Tim Tarantine. Glad to be here with Carla Winchester. Carla, what's happening?
Things are going great, Tim. Thanks for asking.
I had a wonderful conversation with Lisa Scoobel. She's with the Greater Cedar Valley Alliance and Chamber there in the Cedar Valley of Iowa. She's a vice president there and continues to do a lot of work around business recruitment and retention. She talked a lot about talent, and she also deals with some of their data that goes out to the attraction world, a superstar in our industry.
Well, Tim, I'm really excited to hear your interview with Lisa because, as you and I both know, workforce and workforce challenges related to talent and recruitment of that talent continues to be one of the number one issues in economic development. So Lisa's insights are certainly going to be something that our audience will want to hear.
And From the Ground Up is all about building leadership and skill sets in economic developers. That's what this podcast is about. And I think Lisa can add some insights to one of the biggest challenges facing those professionals today. So sit back, relax, and hear from Lisa. Lisa, welcome to the podcast. We're so happy to have you, and congratulations on being named one of North America's top 50 economic developers.
Thank you, Tim. When I heard, I was very humbled by the honor, as well as surprised. So thank you again.
Well, your work speaks for you, and some of your peers nominated you, and I'm just excited to talk with you about this industry. Let's go back to the beginning for you. How'd you get your start in the industry? Did economic development find you, and how did it find you?
Well, I kind of found it. I have a bachelor's degree from Southern Illinois University in political science, and my intent was to go to law school, and I discovered public administration along the way and city planning. Though the school didn't have a good city planning program, I was very intrigued by the public administration. And then when I graduated, and they don't anymore, but they had a master's degree program called community development. And so I went to that school and then emphasized public administration from an MPA standpoint from the poli-sci department. And it just really resonated with me to develop communities. And when I got out of, before I finished grad school, I was home for the weekend and saw in the newspaper that they were looking for a marketing specialist at a local economic development organization. And at that time, chambers and EDOs were separate from each other. My mom was a receptionist at the chamber. And I asked her about it. It looked like I could do everything because I had some experience not only in volunteering and internships while I was in college and grad school, but also just the type of person they were looking for. So long story short, I got my start with an organization that no longer exists because of the merging of EDOs and chambers that have been going on, but an organization that was called the Quad City Development Group, one of the oldest EDOs at that time in the country.
Wow.
So from there, it's escalated then, career-wise. And I've been able to have a successful career, continue to have a successful career in economic development for the last 26 years.
For 26 years, you've been doing this important work. When you think about what economic development was at its core when you started 26 years ago and what it is at its core today, what are the biggest differences you see in our business between when you started and what you see today?
You know, the state of economic development, you know, it's changed so much. When I started in 1990, companies didn't lead their site selection with quality of life or asking the question whether a community had available workforce. Back then, these companies believed that a location had both people who lived in the community, so they must like being there. They must like the quality of life. Today, or at least for quite some time, maybe just this past decade, site selection, including site selectors and companies, they lead both with availability of talent and the quality of life that attracts that talent when they do their search location. That ends up being what I'm finding in the top five or six factors when they initially look for locations. That along with something that I run parallel, and I'm calling it the fifth utility. Now, the other four utilities everyone's familiar with, water, sewer, gas, electric. But having a robust broadband fiber and connectivity, how important that is amongst all types of industries, from manufacturing to the person who works remotely out of their home, all that plays back into the robust connectivity into talent and quality of life as well.
So what are you all doing innovative around that fifth area of infrastructure? I like that analogy.
Oh, the fifth utility.
Utility,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, actually we are building, and I can't take credit because we have some very aggressive and forward-thinking utility companies that are involved. But one of the leading entities, the utility companies, is the utility in Cedar Falls, Iowa, which is part of the Cedar Valley region that I represent, Northeast Iowa, called Cedar Falls Utilities. And they have stayed ahead of that technology. And about 5 or 6 years ago, maybe a little longer than that, they started a program called FTP, which was fiber to the premise. And so they put this high connectivity broadband infrastructure in place throughout their city. So if you were a business or resident, you were going to get 1+ gigabit of service. So by the time they finished installing this infrastructure and lit it up, then all of a sudden it was about the same time a lot of other areas were doing the same thing, Chattanooga and Kansas, as well as international locations such as London. So for a period of time, and I even think so much so now, is that there probably still are not as many communities yet who can actually say they have true fiber to the premise. I'm talking about if you needed 1+ gigabit service tomorrow, that you could call the utility and they could flip a switch and you'd have it the next day or same day
service.
Wow,
that really is an innovation in the industry for sure. I think our listening audience will be probably, somebody's going to call you about how you got that done. Let's talk about the industry at kind of a 30,000-foot level. If you could rewrite the rules for how we do economic development, what are the first two things you'd change?
I would change the way we do regionalism. That would be the key word. Every city, county, locally based EDO needs to recognize, if they haven't already, regional collaboration is an effective method to grow their individual community in the area they live in. I'll take a case in point because this involves Consultant Connect, involves consultants, so this is a real like case in this point. My regional colleagues and I have repeatedly been told by site selection consultants we meet that they only meet with EDOs that execute an external marketing initiative regionally. And the rationale we've been given is there are so many hours in the day that these consultants can meet with communities. It's more effective for them to cultivate those relationships with regional EDOs when they do have projects. And that's just one tiny example of why regionalism is so important to not only developing one's individual community, but the area and the region they live in.
There's no question about the importance of the regional piece, and we've heard the same message from site selectors. I think you're spot on there.
The other is talent development. Now, this isn't anything new that economic developers have been trying to figure out maybe for the last 5+ years. And I think that some of us, including us earlier on, instead of taking a shotgun approach to recruiting and retaining talent and workforce, all EDOs will eventually have to take a rifle approach by leading with a well-defined strategy for their talent and workforce needs with thoughtful, actionable programs. I would liken this to a similar approach EDOs, including ourselves, currently use to identify targeted industries for business recruitment purposes.
And so you think that that's going to be one of those changes that will help us in the future?
It will help us be more effective with the communities we service, because we all know that building that right talent pipeline that our communities need will help our existing businesses grow and our ability to recruit new companies, too.
I think you're spot on. Thank you for that insight. When we look into the future, you've had 20-some years behind you. Now when you look ahead, 10 years to 2025, 2026, would you finish the following sentence for me? The most relevant and impactful economic developers will have blank in common at that time.
Oh, that goes back to what we just talked about. They will be leading and executing effective programming to build that talent funnel in the region.
I think you're spot on. And the more creative we can be in that space as economic developers, because every community has different needs, as you stated before. Let's try it. Let's have some fun. Let's do a rapid fire question, some rapid fire questions. I'll give you a word. You give me the top of mind response you have to that word. We've covered the issue of workforce pretty well. What I want to ask you about is the state of professional development in economic development.
State of professional development. It's changing the way we used to do work. We can no longer just keep our eye focused on traditional business recruitment and retention. We have to think out of the box, because if we are not thinking out of the box and staying current with what our businesses are doing in order to stay relevant within their own industries, then we're going to be irrelevant too, and we're not going to be able to sustain not only ourselves professionally, but the community's growth long term. So our work has to continue to evolve just like our existing businesses. Their sales and their product line continues to evolve. We need to do likewise with how we service them.
Local elected officials.
Yes, as far as local elected officials, I think that they are very important in our ability to execute effective initiatives to grow and diversify the economy. What's key is education, communication, and collaboration are essential in the way EDOs work with the local elected officials. We can't do it on our own.
I think you're spot on. If you had a room full of your colleagues who are all trying to figure out how to compete in the future and how to be better economic developers, what would the key message from you be to that group of your colleagues about our industry, about the work we do and how we do it?
I think we kind of addressed it earlier on, is that we need to continue to think outside the box if we're going to be relevant in the work we do. It isn't a matter of looking at things historically, what we've done in the past of stack chasing, as it was referred to when I started. It's being innovative and thinking like an entrepreneur if we're going to help grow and sustain our community. And understanding with all these different generations, we have millennials, for example, we need to understand their values and what draws them to communities and jobs. And understanding those different genres is going to help us be more successful and create a quality of life community as well as a business environment for them to come to thrive and stay.
I think you're absolutely right. Lisa, thank you so much for being on the call today. You've given us some great insights, some very innovative things that you all are doing there. And of course, I want to again congratulate you on being named one of North America's top 50 economic developers. Your work speaks for itself.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, an organization working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.org or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.